This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
It's April 10th, everyone, and welcome to This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm, brought to you by Amazon.com and by Audible.com. My name is Tony Hubert, my co-host, my partner, Armand Kachigian, as we bring you the events, the births, and the deaths on this date. Armand looks flustered already on this fine date, April the 10th.
Losing money.
You're losing. Is the stock market down?
Well, my stock is down.
You should have bought the stock in Tomahawk missiles. That stock was going up last week.
Yeah, but whatever comes up goes down.
That's true.
That's Raytheon, by the way.
Raytheon. All right. We got some events today, Armand. Not a ton. Got a couple decent birthdays. Got two exceptionally good deaths. I'm not happy they're dead. I'm just saying we honor them.
Well, I'm dead, so why shouldn't they be dead?
Come on.
Well, I'm dead broke.
Come on.
All right.
Perk up. Let's go. The market goes up.
I'm
the market
even better
goes down.
When I'm pissed. All
but
right.
In the long haul.
Yeah, we all go broke.
In the long haul.
We're all dead.
In the long haul, the market goes up.
That's what you say.
That's what I say. I have evidence to support me.
In the long run, we're all dead.
Yeah, well, that's true.
John Maynard Keynes.
That's true as well. But the market still goes up. Maybe it'll go up the day you die, like a lot.
Yeah, it will.
Wouldn't that be fitting? All right, the year is 837, the closest passing of Halley's Comet to date, and it's only 0.0342 AUs. That's 3.2 million miles from Earth. It swung by Earth that close in 837. How the hell did they measure that in 837?
Well, I think they can figure that out from its, you know, they've got the thing's orbit figured out pretty well, I guess, so.
When does a comet just run out of?
Well, sometimes it either goes into the sun, you know, when these things get too close. That's usually what happens, I guess, or they just break apart, I guess. It's just a dirty ice ball.
It is.
Anyway.
Best trivia question about Halley's Comet?
What?
Best trivia question about Halley's Comet?
Who discovered it?
Well, we I think we can get that one.
Well, it's probably the Chinese anyway. But
who was born and who died in the?
Oh yeah, Mark Twain.
Mark
of course.
Twain.
Yeah.
There you go. And remember
he
that trivia
predicted
buffs.
That.
1606, the Virginia Company of London is given a royal charter. It's established. It's made by James the First, with the purpose of establishing colonial settlements in North America. They had to form a company to do this.
Well, I hope so. You know, it's hopefully for profit, but I don't know. I don't know what this is all about. I didn't read up on this. But, you know, these guys come over here and thought they're going to be utopians.
It wasn't the Dutch East India, I'll tell you that much.
No, I don't think you buy stock in it or anything. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so because it's a socialist enterprise.
Yeah, why would you want to do that? You know what the end result's going to be.
Only socialists don't. Everybody but socialists.
I mean, there's not
Bernie fans.
There's really not going to be profit to be spread around.
Yeah, did you see looks like Caracas is going crazy. Looks like
yes.
They may get unseat this madman Maduro.
Yep.
He's
yep.
not that mad, actually. He's smart. Take away from the people, keep it, and get the hell out of there, which is what he'll do.
Yeah. Where will he go?
Grand Cayman? I don't know. Grand Turk?
Yeah.
Someplace without extradition.
Well, someplace in the Caribbean. He'll be fine.
Yeah, why not?
Cool summer breezes, everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
he did just fine.
Yeah. 1816. Oh, this one's going to get you going.
Well, first of all, I'd like to go, I think, 1815 before that, the eruption of Tambora.
Yeah, the eruption of that
volcano. I don't
know
why you didn't put that on there. That was a pretty big disaster.
Well, it wasn't on film,
probably the
though.
Biggest of all time. I think it's even bigger than Krakatoa, supposedly.
Really?
I don't know. It didn't make that loud a noise because that was the loudest noise of all time, apparently. But
is it true that Krakatoa really, when it erupted, changed the orbit of the Earth?
I don't know about
or
that.
Or the rotation. Just
yeah, maybe it slowed it or something. Yeah, I
ever
doubt
so
that.
Fractionally.
This was a pretty big one, too. Volcanic explosion index of 7, which is the largest ever measured, apparently.
Dang.
Yeah, I don't know who comes up with these things. They always have to classify this crap. But anyway, 71,000 died Yeah, a lot of them, though, it was mostly, you know, because it ruined agriculture.
Right.
And, you know, there was a year without a summer and all
right.
that stuff. There was famine. Bad news, because all this stuff gets obviously in the atmosphere. And you want to talk about, you know, global cooling. That's what that does.
That'll cool you down.
Yeah, like even
real
Pinatubo
quick.
In 92 cooled mm-hmm. the atmosphere a couple of degrees. That's what happens when you, you know, belch all this sulfur and everything into the atmosphere. In fact, a lot of people were saying, and I don't necessarily agree with this, geoengineering, that because of global warming, which we all know is a hoax, you actually blow up a bunch of atom bombs in the desert and, you know, spew all these particulates into the atmosphere. And that, of course, blocks sunlight and cools the atmosphere, which probably theoretically it does, but we don't need to do that. So don't do that.
Volcanoes, the Earth's acne.
I wouldn't call it that.
Well, I mean, it's a big zit on the face of the Earth getting popped.
Yeah, inflammation, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. Actually, it's a comedo.
What's a comedo?
That's the medical term for...
Oh, for acne?
For a pimple.
For a pimple?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, no one can squeeze a volcano, but...
It's the difference between a comedo and a caldera.
What's a caldera?
That's the
cone
that's
left. Lava?
After it blows up, there's what the remnant is a caldera, the mountain with a big hole in it.
Yeah, okay, like Mount St. Helens after it blew the side
of it out.
Yeah,
blows its top.
That's the caldera.
Yeah.
Got it. The cauldron, if you will, right?
Well, not spelled the same.
Not spelled the same.
Same root either,
yeah.
But for simpleton, I suppose that'll do.
Oh, okay.
You happy?
No. Don't call me a simpleton again.
I didn't mention any names. You take offense.
1816... The second bank of the United States.
As if the first one wasn't bad enough.
So our federal government, after the first one,
expired. Its charter expired, as all charters should for these damn things.
And it approves the creation of the second one in 1816. Central banking as early as 1816 in our country. Well, even earlier than that.
Yeah, central banking, you know, unsupported by specie, of course. And that's exactly what these banks wanted. These state banks. At this point, they're opening their own things. They're opening their own branches. And as soon as this opens up, this bank guarantees them that they're all Federal Reserve Bank. They're doing a fractional reserve anyway already.
Right. Even though they still have a gold standard, it's fractional reserve gold standard.
Yeah, but they're not. Nobody's. Yeah.
No.
They're not guaranteeing.
No, because here's the thing.
Have
you ever heard these stories about so here come the inspector generals from Treasury, right, to make sure you got the gold in the bank?
Well, not back in 1816.
Okay. Well, but even later on.
Yeah.
So they oh, yeah, okay, you got gold. They bag up all the gold, run it to the next bank, get it there before the inspectors arrive. They sit there and they look at the same gold. Oh, you got gold. Great.
Well, you don't need it anyway.
Do it again.
You know, you can loan it. If you got $1 million in assets, you can loan out 10 million.
Yeah, 10 to 1.
Yeah. And these other guys will loan out on these,
right.
You know, they'll lend up. So,
fractional reserve. A chain reaction.
Consult Murray Rothbard, History of Banking in the United States. It'll tell you all about this sham. And, of course, what it led to was the Depression of 1819, the first one our country ever had. And it was a bad one because, obviously, the Austrians will tell you all about this.
The Austrian economics school
economists,
will tell you
about it. Von Hayek and those guys, Bombervik, Bavirk, and... Von Mises, all our buddies. You've got no specie backing this stuff up. You've got all kinds of money flowing. Inflation's going crazy. And asset prices are going way up. And
right.
Of course, you're making a bubble.
Yes. It's going to burst.
It went from property. It went to land. It went to slaves even.
Mm-hmm.
Everything went up. And then finally people start saying, hey, wait a minute. We want something for our money.
Yes.
And all of it crashed.
And there's nothing
to give
bubble.
Them. Yeah. And that was it. There's nothing backing up all this stuff. So out west, they were going to barter again. Whiskey.
Why not?
You know, corn or whatever the hell. Yeah. Prostitution, whatever
it
took.
Still,
but this was a first depression.
Today, Armand,
if
you could barter for most of your everyday necessities, would you?
Well, in this day and age, it'd be easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd barter my services. I mean, people need their toenails cut.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do your grandpa's toenails and you fix my tiles in my bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Right, sure.
The connectivity.
You can do that now because you have the internet.
The internet.
That was the problem with money. That's why money came about. If I don't need your eggs and you don't need my cows,
we have to get together.
But in this day and age, I think you can.
You can.
And I think Bitcoin's the way to do it. I mean, Bitcoin's a good way to do it. Any of these things online, which is what, of course, the government's going crazy about.
Well, because they see the system's
about to
unravel.
Why they hate it. Yeah, there's no taxes on this stuff.
No, you can't tax barter.
Right.
Hey, I fixed your roof and he mowed my lawn.
Sure.
And the government steps in and says, okay, well,
yeah,
both of you got to pay me
how
something.
How do we make money off this?
Yeah. You don't.
Right.
Sorry.
So, yeah, that's what your government does.
Kind of looking forward to this, Armand.
What?
The barter.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to let us do it. I'll tell you what. I don't think they're going to, you know, they're trying to squelch Bitcoin. I don't think they can ever get rid of all of it, but boy, the government, look at what they're trying to do
I'm just saying.
Uber. They're trying to keep them out of cities.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But.
Because a lot of interest in
this. Just as an individual, think how many things maybe you can take yourself off of the fiat money grid.
I'd love to.
You know? And it's kind of interesting when you think about it that way. You know, like, for instance, in my neighborhood, a lot of people now have chickens. They have excess egg. I don't know. It's a thing.
What neighborhood are you in?
It's a thing. It's a nice neighborhood, but a lot of people have backyard hen houses. Okay. And they have chickens.
Where do you live? Hooterville?
No. I live in a very nice suburban area.
Well, affluent areas don't have chickens.
Yes, they do. Yes, they
pecking
do.
About. All right. All right. Well, I don't have a problem with that. You pluck them and fry them.
Yeah, there's the thing. I can send my kid, cut the yard, come home with a dozen eggs.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Well, I'm saying you can facilitate all this with computers now.
Sure can. All right, the next one I really like here. I got 1858. This is another great trivia question, because if you're ever, you know, have you ever seen Big Ben? Everyone will say, yeah, I've been to London. No. I've seen Big Ben. And the answer is, no, you haven't.
Yeah, but, you know, now they say it is. So
really?
I don't know if
but it's not. I thought the tower had an official name
of the
Clock Tower of Parliament or something
like
that.
Yeah, but now they call the whole thing Big Ben.
No, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like that at all.
They got sick of people missing that trivia question.
I don't like that at all. Big Ben is a bell.
That's the bell. Yeah.
Okay? It started out as a 14.5-ton bell, 32,000 pounds.
Named after, didn't say it on here, isn't it? What's the guy's name? Benjamin Hamilton? It was named after the guy who, you know, provided apparently the money for this thing or whatever. Or, yeah, the guy's got a name. That's why it's called Big Ben. Now I think the Palace of Westminster,
right,
or the Parliament Building.
Okay, I got you here, Sir Benjamin Hall.
Hall God,
may
course.
Have
Benjamin
been named.
Hall. It is named.
May have been named.
That's the trivia question. Benjamin Hall.
Or after boxing's English heavyweight champion, Benjamin Kant.
I don't know about that. I've always
liked
Benjamin Hall
better. Right. So you got the Palace of Westminster, which is all of Parliament.
That was designed by, I always remember, Charles Barry. Just remember Chuck Berry duck walking on the Parliament. That's how you remember it. Charles Barry designed the Parliament Building. Now, I've been asked that in a trivia contest.
Now,
too.
What most
tough.
People, when they say they've seen Big Ben, what they're saying is they've seen Clock Tower.
But now the tower, the whole tower, they call
again,
it Big
I disagree.
Ben.
Well, you want to see Big Ben climb the damn
Send
Clock Tower.
Send your complaint
tower.
To the Queen. I'm sure she'll sick
does
her.
Does the Queen have anything to do?
She'll sick her corgis on you.
That's true.
Yeah, well, no, she can't. She can't go into Parliament. She can't go into, that's the one place she can't go. You know that.
Yeah.
She can't go into the House of Commons.
Yeah, she cannot go into Commons. She can only go to
Who
Lords.
Who's that guy that said, I can make a joke on any subject? He says, okay, how about the Queen? The Queen is not a subject.
That's a good joke.
Yes.
That's a good joke. Anyway, I prefer
Funny guy.
I prefer Clock Tower, okay? The tower is officially known as Elizabeth Tower now because of the Diamond Jubilee, but forever before that it was simply Clock Tower. So Big Ben, originally, 32,000-pound bell. It gets a crack during testing.
Yeah.
It's then recast down to 30,300 pounds, about 13.75 tons. And there you have it. It was done by the Whitechapel Bell Foundry. So that's nearby.
That's where Jack the Ripper did his work.
Yeah, it's nearby.
Whitechapel.
And if you've never heard Big Ben, it's a great sounding bell. I mean, it really is. I mean,
you remember the James Bond movie where Big Ben struck 7 times at 6 o'clock? To signify that they're going to give in to Spectre. It's Thunderball.
What is Thunderball?
Just watched the other
Damn
day. That was the signal that they're going to give him the money.
7 times at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, right.
Big Ben. The bell has a great tone, but I think very few people have actually seen it.
So do I, but I haven't been out in the sun much lately.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
But mid-July, I have a nice tone.
In the Civil War, back here in America, 1865.
It's over. Cut
it's,
it out.
It's over. But just a little note here. Robert E. Lee has to address his troops, and he does so for the last time on this date, April the 10th.
Yeah, here again, they were still fighting, and I think in Kentucky and out west, through May. I think.
Well, they didn't
it lasted
the,
a while.
Nobody
got
the
memo.
Word.
Yeah, they're like the Japanese over there. They're There's probably still somebody hiding out in some Tennessee catacomb.
What do you think Lee said? I mean, they
blew it, boys.
Well, yeah.
Of course he said it with a southern accent.
They fought well, right?
Well, we've talked about this. It's Lee's fault, probably.
Because Lee had to
fall
on
the
sword.
Had he fought the guerrilla war, as we talked about, like Wellington did in the Peninsular Campaign.
Who the hell marches an army into Pennsylvania?
Yeah, well.
Seriously.
I don't know if that was
him,
though.
And they're lucky they
thought they'd put a quick end to the war.
But at Gettysburg, they're lucky that Meade didn't follow them back down. Because if he did, they would have been annihilated in July of 1863.
Pickett's charge and all that. I mean, who did that? That was ill advised too.
Totally.
Anyway, I'm not a Civil War guy. No.
1866. Let's see if you're in favor of this. The American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals is founded in New York City.
Well, who the hell was that? I'm not cruel to animals.
Yeah, I don't know
if we need this.
1866. I'm surprised it was.
These guys
that
are
early.
Getting a little out of hand, though. I mean, when you start saying we don't want mink, you know, you shoot paintballs at people with mink coats and stuff. Is that who does that? Or I don't know.
That's them. PETA.
Okay, right. That's PETA. That's right. Not... These guys are a little more reasonable.
Well, I'll give you a. You ever heard of Temple Grandin?
No.
Okay, so she. She was born with autism, but she's high functioning, and
eventually, most of them are. Yeah.
Eventually, she went on to animal husbandry school, okay, like at Arizona State, something like that. And she invented a method, you know, to better process cattle because they had such problems in the yards, you know, because they'd lose a lot of beef in the yards.
Just
the way the cattle were rounded up, herded, put into the chutes, put through the dip to kill all the bugs on their hide, things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of loss is a loss of time,
and
productivity,
money.
And
importantly,
money. And that's the point that Temple made to the cattlemen who were really resistant to these ideas. Until she said, look, we raise these things for our sustenance.
Yeah.
So we need to treat them with some respect.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean like the... How about the baby veal they keep in the cages and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have an opinion on that.
That's tough.
If there's a more humane way of doing it, I don't know if there is.
I am for be as humane as possible.
Yeah.
But I'm not going
to. To a certain point.
I'm not going to quit eating meat. I don't agree with what some of the Asian cultures do where they stress the dogs out before they kill them because they think the meat's going to be better because the dog is, you know. Oh, yeah.
High state of agitation.
Exactly.
Well, that just goes to show. I don't know. Who knows what lies in the recesses of the Oriental mind.
Yeah. Well,
came up with that idea. Fu Manchu?
I don't know. I don't. There's a festival over there where they
the
do
tongs.
It's, you know, look, I'm not. You're a meat eater.
I would probably say that has no basis in biology. Am I a meat eater? Yes,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
I'm omnivore.
I'm not going to quit eating meat. But I do like.
What about mink coats, though? The people that'll grant you the meat and say, "Well, you don't need to wear a mink coat." Now, that of course is more a fashion statement. I really don't have a problem with it. I also don't have a problem with using these animals for medical studies, which a lot of them do.
Again, be humane.
You do as much you can, but inherently, you know, giving mice cancer or using baboons or whatever they're using, not humane.
I have no problem with someone giving a mouse cancer.
Yeah, well, I mean, did you see that nutcase that wants to give, you know, now there are a lot of guys that want to give animals rights just the same as humans.
Well, what's next? Plants?
I got a better one. Somebody wants to give glaciers rights. Did you see this?
What, because they're entities?
Yeah, because global warming, you know. Yeah, wait, we can't kill what did the glacier ever do to you? I'm not kidding. That's not a joke.
What's next? We can't breathe the air?
That is what's next. Damn right it is.
I mean,
because if CO2 is a pollutant, you're a polluter. It's not going to say you can't breathe the air. Here's what they're going to do, Tony. They're going to say, here's what you breathe a year. We're going to tax you because here is the social cost of your breathing. That's what's coming. Believe me. If these guys have their way,
way. If somebody could find a way.
Well, they'll do it. Believe me. If it can make money for the government, they'll do it. And put more constraints on you, take away your freedom. Sure, they'll do it. Why not?
This is a good tangent off of the ASPCA.
Well, the ASPCA is fine.
As
long as they fund themselves, which I think they do.
They do.
Great.
Founded by Henry Berg. Speaking of nature, in 1872, the first Arbor Day is celebrated in Nebraska. Now, this I'm all for.
I am too, I guess. I don't know. I have a problem with it.
Why not plant trees?
I don't have a problem with it.
Why not?
It's kind of silly to have a day for it, though.
Well, but so much of the American forest had been knocked down by
What was it? Chapman?
We should always be replanting
Johnny
trees.
Appleseed? Wasn't his name Chapman?
Yeah.
Not the Chapman that shot.
No, not Mark David Chapman. Yeah. No, not that guy. All right, halfway through today's program, let's see who was born on this fine date. April the 10th. I've got the man, probably second to only William Randolph Hearst in American media, Joseph Pulitzer, a Hungarian Jewish American, of course, a journalist, a publisher, a politician, and the founder of the Pulitzer Incorporated Company.
Yeah, I think he started the. He's a St. Louis guy, isn't he?
Pulitzer family, very big in St. Louis.
But I don't know. You know, he's got a lot to answer for, these stupid prizes of his. What do we need that shit for? As if we need another prize. And this is given to reporters.
Yes.
Okay.
Shouldn't you have something to strive for?
No.
Other than just
the truth.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
Okay. You get a prize for telling the truth?
No, you get a prize for good reporting. Woodward and Bernstein.
I don't know if there's a cash. Do they get cash for that or what?
Pretty nominal, actually.
Yeah, kind of like the Nobel Prize, right? Nobel Prize, like $750,000.
Yeah, it's nice.
But they actually do something.
Right.
I don't know what these guys do.
You don't like it. You wouldn't like to receive a Pulitzer Prize for best screenplay.
No. Academy Award. That's it. Maybe a Golden Globe, but I don't want a People's Choice or a SAG Award or a Screenwriters Guild. Well, the Guild maybe if it's other writers.
Yeah, that's your brotherhood.
I guess.
You don't want to be honored by your peers?
I'm not a union man anyway. You know that. I'm a union buster.
What if we gave you an award here for being just like the
most caustic and acerbic?
Most caustic wrestler in the lineup media group.
How about
office?
The guy that spends the most time here at the office?
That's true.
I'd win that award.
You would win that award hands down.
For all weekend.
All right. 1915, the great actor Harry Morgan, Dragnet, MASH.
Great an actor.
Oh, he's fine. He's fun.
He's a great actor.
He pulled off Colonel Potter.
Okay, you asked me what I like him in. I just watched the other day The Shootist with John Wayne. He was Marshall Thibodeau.
Well, he's a French guy.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I guess
Thibodeau,
French name.
He's French, yeah.
How you feeling today? A little more poorly?
A little more poorly.
Couldn't wait for him to die, you know? Ugh. What I do on when you do die, what I do on your grave won't pass for flowers. He had some pretty good quotes in that movie.
Yeah.
Marshall Thibodeau.
1921, Chuck Connors.
He was a pro, right?
Rifleman. Oh, he's a pro
Chicago
ball player.
Chicago Cubs and basketball. Yeah. Now, I don't know why you omitted 1827 Lew Wallace, General Lew Wallace.
I can't imagine why.
Well, he's governor of New Mexico, but that's not what he's noted for.
No, it's not. What's he noted for?
Oh, come on.
Lew Wallace.
Yeah. He wrote a very famous book, made into several times into a very famous movie, Academy Award-winning movie, with Charlton Heston.
Ben-Hur.
That's right. Tale of the Christ. Lew Wallace wrote that book.
Wow.
Yeah.
And guy out in New Mexico.
The best-selling book of the 19th century. It even passed Uncle Tom's Cabin.
A guy out in Mexico does...
New Mexico.
New Mexico does Ben
Hur. General. But yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great... I got to remember that for a trivia question.
Oh, God. You didn't know that?
No. Uh-uh. That's good. I like that.
We were talking about Shiloh last week.
Yes.
He took it on the chin for that. Grant blamed him.
Oh, Grant...
So where the hell were you? He apparently was supposed to. He was a general. And
he was supposed to come in with reinforcements.
He was late apparently, and they gave him hell kind.
That's one of the
things. They demoted him for that. I think they kicked him out of the army.
That's one of the things about Grant. There's an unforgivingness there if you read through some of the.
Some might say it's a shift of blame.
Well, could be, but also
we're talking about the Japanese. They're noble.
His tactics.
You know, you screw up as a Jap, they cut their pinky off.
Yeah, I know,
but that's in the mob.
Grant's tactics often, you know, had something to do with. Okay, you know, this is going to hit here. But at this time, I need this, which I can't imagine trying to coordinate on a battlefield circa 1860.
Anyway, Lew Wallace took it for Shiloh.
Oh, so too bad.
And then Matthew Perry, Commodore.
Oh, Commodore.
1794. He opened Japan to the United States. Man, he just kind of barged in there.
He did. Just sailed right in on it.
And just to make sure that they knew who was boss, he fired his guns off, even though they're blanks. That probably scared the piss out of everybody.
Oh, they had
it's kind of a prelude to Jimmy Doolittle.
Come on, they had gunpowder.
Yeah, but not on big ships like that. I don't know. But anyway, they told them, we don't want you over here.
Japan
was
a really isolated country.
Yeah, and they wanted to stay that way.
And they did. Yeah, so they were hunkered down.
He sailed right into Edo.
Uh-huh.
I think it was called Edo at the time.
Right.
Tokyo now.
Yeah, but it's Tokyo Bay that he sails into. Modern day Tokyo Bay, right?
Yeah. Edo was called at the time.
Right.
By the way, Lew Wallace, he fought, he was in the Mexican army. Yeah, he decided, what the hell, I'll go over there. And Juarez, Benito Juarez.
Benito Juarez.
Yeah, paid him $100,000 apparently, but he's still broke. I don't know if he ever got it, but that's what he promised him.
That's nice mercenary work if you can get it.
He went, but he was poor until
Until Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur. Then he was doing okay. Yeah.
Max von Sydow, born 1929. Oh, this is my introduction to this guy.
I think it's Sydow.
Max von Sydow.
That compels you. The power of Christ compels me. That the power of Christ compels you.
Is this King of Kings?
No, it's The Exorcist.
Oh, he was Jesus too, you know.
Oh, I know, but that's how I remember.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. He wasn't that.
And that Exorcist, I got to tell you, Armand, that movie's messed up.
What do you mean?
That's
I watched Poltergeist yesterday for the first time. The old one?
Yeah, from 82.
I didn't like it. But.
No, upon further review, it ain't that great.
No,
but
I'm
Exorcist,
expecting more.
That's truly screwed up.
Okay.
David Halberstam, great author.
I read his, The 50s.
Yeah,
I read
the
50s. That book. I think he wrote one in the 60s, too. He's written a lot. Probably won a Pulitzer.
The Long Winter, about the Korean War.
Yeah.
My favorite Halberstam book, though, will almost always be October 1964, about the political climate in America, yeah, coupled with the sort of the last World Series,
yeah,
for the Yankees dynasty. It would be the Cardinals versus the Yankees, 64, and the St. Louis Cardinals would win in 7 games. And it's a good parallel book, kind of showing the change in American culture. You know, out goes the sort of the pinstripes and the blue of the Yankee dynasty since the end of World War II. You know, they were on a 20-year run of just undaunted excellence, man.
Crazy.
And, you know, the Cardinals weren't bad, you know, but they weren't winning.
They had won in 18 years.
Yeah, they weren't winning a World Series or even appearing in a World Series that, you know, that that consistently, let's say.
Nobody was.
You know, they had good teams, but, you know, it was the Yankees and basically the Dodgers, you know, for a lot of that time.
Yeah, the Giants.
And Giants were in there, too. So it's a great book, October 64. Go to this day.
Yeah, he's a pretty good author. I like him.
This day in history, best and the brightest as well, right?
Did he write that? I don't remember.
But go thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, click on the Amazon banner, and do some shopping. Pick up October 64, and if you can't find it there, get it as a Audible book.
Anything by Halberstam.
Yeah, anything is good. 1936, John Madden born, the coach of the Oakland Raiders. Super
you don't want
Bowl
to be on
winner.
His game. Isn't that the
if
kiss
you
of death?
Are on the cover of his game, yeah, there's been a Madden curse
right.
on
the curse.
EA Sports Madden insert right. year here.
That's like the Tutankhamun's tomb.
Totally.
You get on there. And you
have a horrible injury. Something bad happens to you.
I'll chance it if he wants to put me on the cover.
So I'd play a Madden clip, but
I'll wear my wrestling headgear.
You know what he sounds like. 1938, this here.
Now, I know what this guy
this here yeah. gentleman was all born.
Right. Turn off the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night. The party's over. And tomorrow and next year starts the same old thing again.
Now, he was the inspiration for Mac Davis in North Dallas 40, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, and yep. B.A. was Landry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Good movie. But, yeah, I like Don Meredith. Nothing wrong with him.
That's when you could just about do anything on television. Television just didn't take itself that seriously.
You couldn't put Rush Limbaugh on there.
That's when they started taking – they tried to lighten it up. Because Monday Night Football back in that day – Even 10 years later, it wasn't really about who was playing.
Well, it was about who was betting. I mean,
that
was the biggest night of
it was the chance to get even.
That was a big game. Yeah, that was a lot of betting going on.
The whole reason was a chance. You know where
that's why everybody watched it to the bitter end.
First Monday Night Football game was played.
Where?
Yeah,
I thought it was. Is it the Jets?
Wasn't well, yeah, that's the first official one.
Oh,
as a package for TV.
Yeah,
but. They tried it in 1966, St. Louis Football Cardinals, Green Bay Packers, at the Busch Stadium 2, the big round one.
They just opened that year, didn't
they? And they just opened, and they had a Monday night game to see how it would do, and I think NBC might have been the broadcaster.
Oh, actually, did they have some coverage?
Yeah, yeah. But then ABC went with
it's getting
the
a little out of hand
package.
Now. Thursday night football, and the games stink.
Because they don't have a good rights package.
Yeah.
They don't get a good matchup.
Yeah, I know.
And they wear the color. They wear crazy color uniforms on Thursday night, if that's going to get you to tune in.
You got to continue having that lingerie bowl. Now that would help.
No,
it's like a little inset, or whatever. In the whatever. I don't know.
1948, Mel Blunt, great Pittsburgh Steeler. Happy birthday, Mel. In 1970, one of my favorites from A Tribe Called Quest, Q-Tip, the rapper, producer, and actor, is born. I didn't realize Q-Tip was only a year older than I am.
Okay.
You don't know Q-Tip?
I don't know Q-Tip.
I've seen him in concerts. Wonderful.
I don't know Tampon. I don't know any of these guys.
Please. Q-Tip. No rapper called Tampon. 1904. Right. Let's go back to the events. Uh-oh. We got Aleister Crowley.
The wickedest man in England.
He transcribes.
We all love him.
He transcribes the third and final chapter of the Book of the Law.
I got to read that. I got to read this
guy. Do you?
I love this guy.
Really? Should you?
Oh, I love this guy.
Do you think that's wise for you to read some Crowley?
We used to. We went in depth on the Ocho Man show about him with Nick.
Okay.
Nick admired him, too.
Yeah.
Quite a mystic, this guy.
Wow. That, behind the eight ball here. Yeah.
His sexual appetites were...
prodigious?
Yeah. Fecund.
Oh. So unique.
Prodigious. Imaginative.
Imaginative, Behind the Eight Ball, another great show on lineupmedia.fm that Armand does with... Jano Kabengian, so check that out as Armand continues to monitor the stock market, the NYSE.
It's improving a little bit.
Okay, all right.
This is NASDAQ.
Your mood is picked up.
This is NASDAQ.
It's NASDAQ.
Yeah,
it's wonderful that you can trade your fortune away on your phone today, isn't it?
I have to pay my taxes this week, too. Another kick in the nuts.
1912, the RMS Titanic.
You know how much I had to pay in a penalty for Obamacare?
Why?
Like over $1,000.
Because you didn't insure yourself?
Of course not. I don't get insurance.
Oh, okay.
Still cheaper.
So I need to pay for you.
Would you?
You seem pretty healthy.
$97 a month, yeah.
You seem pretty
healthy. I'm
a good risk. Yeah.
That doesn't matter, though.
I don't know what's the return I get, though.
Nothing.
Oh, well.
And that's what anybody, nobody gets any return.
I know.
It's just money given away. So
that's the gamble.
Know, poor, unhealthy people can live off the healthy people.
That's the gamble.
Young people, yeah. Not a gamble. Well, it's a gamble now because all the insurers are dropping out. But it'll be gone soon.
1912, the RMS Titanic. You know what RMS stands for?
RMS. Royal Majesty's Ship?
Royal Mail.
Mail?
Ship.
M-A-I-L?
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Could be.
I always thought it was.
I don't think that's right. Royal Majesty doesn't sound right.
But let me check just to make sure, because often you are right.
Not on that one, I don't think.
RMS stands for, it doesn't stand for the root mean square.
No, I can tell you what that is.
Royal Mail ship.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hauls the mail. Well, anyway, set sail from Southampton. Now, it's already set sail from Liverpool down to Southampton. And can you name the ports of call on the Titanic's scheduled first voyage?
No, Newfoundland, I would think, somewhere, isn't it?
No.
St. John's? I don't know.
It was Liverpool to Southampton.
Yeah.
Southampton over to Cherbourg, France.
Oh.
Or Le Havre.
Le Havre. Yeah.
It was a French.
Yeah.
And then New York City.
To New York. Le Havre. Okay.
Yeah. So you could, there were people who went just the short route and got off. Only a handful.
Yeah. Well, everybody got off the short route. It was a little short for everybody year.
I would have loved to. Can you imagine seeing that thing? I'd love to go down to the bottom of the ocean and see it now.
See
you don't want to see it? Why not?
I would like to see it in its glory when it, as it sailed away. No, I forgot. I missed a birth here. Speaking of science, a root mean squares. Joseph Louis Lagrange.
Lagrange?
Lagrange. You know what a Lagrangian point is?
No.
That's where they're going to put the. That's actually where they're going to put the Spitzer, and that's where all these telescopes, a lot of these telescopes are.
Okay.
The Lagrangian point. It's there's five Lagrangian points between the Earth and the Sun.
Okay.
And there are Lagrangian points around all the big planets. All the planets have them.
Okay.
They have trojans. That's where these trojans are that follow the planets in orbit. It's an area where the gravity of two, like the Earth and say the Sun,
yes,
their gravity's offset, and you put a satellite.
You
there,
got
and
a
it stays there.
You got an equilibrium point.
Stays right there, Lagrangian point. Yeah.
Interesting.
So as the Earth goes around, that's where they're going to put the Spitzer.
Okay.
Because it's going to be a few million miles out. It's nowhere near the atmosphere. They put in that Lagrangian point, and it follows the Earth all the way around its orbit. You have to do anything with
it. Got it.
So this guy discovered that. He's a mathematician, astronomer.
Good grief. That is amazing.
Yeah.
How the hell did he discover that?
Well, I think it was a theory. It was his theory.
A theory
did
that
all
some,
with math.
At
that,
some
yeah.
point, the gravitational
right.
forces
here's,
have to
yeah,
be
here's
equal.
Here's this planet's gravity. Here's the Earth's gravity. Here's the orbit they have and all this other crap. I'm sure you have to put all that into it, angular momentum and all that. He said, there's got to be a point somewhere where the damn thing's going to, And that's what these Trojans are, these natural satellites
yes.
of like Jupiter. They just follow the planet all the way around the sun.
Right.
They're
not classified as moons, though, right?
No, they're Trojans.
Trojans.
Because they're small. They're small.
And they're actually
and they don't orbit around the planet.
They don't orbit, so
no,
therefore not a moon.
One point.
Yeah. Okay, got it. That's fascinating.
Yeah. This guy.
Are the Trojans big?
No, they're not. Usually, typically, they're not big, but they're not small. You know, they're not like moon size, but they're.
Okay, so they're not like.
I think even our moon has a Trojan.
They're not like the Jehovah satellite
no,
sizes.
Jovian.
Or even Jovian.
No.
Or even like our moon.
Nowhere near that big, but they're pretty, you know. But like I said, the moon has a Trojan.
Oh.
The little tiny things.
Fascinating. Yeah. All right. In 1916, the PGA is formed. By the way, congratulations to Sergio Garcia.
Did that guy blow it yesterday?
It was not a good day at the Masters.
What was his name? That Peters? Is that his name Peters? What was the guy that got second?
There's a couple. Second?
Yeah.
Justin Rose.
Justin Rose. Oh, that's right. Man, he could have won on his putt.
He could have won, missed it. His,
and then
his
that
tee
shot off the.
His tee shot on the playoff hole.
What's he thinking? Anyway.
The PGA, only formed in 1916. Considering how old golf is, I kind of thought this might be older, but the PGA is only 100 years old in a year. How about
that? Well, that's the Pro Golfers, right, Association. But I feel like Bobby Jones in the 30s, he's an amateur, right?
Yeah.
So these guys aren't even pros.
Amateur.
Well, I know, but the definition of amateur was a little different back then.
Exactly, a lot different.
But
1919, Mexican Revolution, Emiliano Zapata. He's ambushed, shot dead.
See the movie Zapata, Viva Zapata.
Viva Zapata.
With
screenplay by John Steinbeck.
Yeah, that's correct. And directed by Elia Kazan.
Mm-hmm. Named names, therefore
right.
Hollywood never liked him after that.
Those names needed naming. And
well, you know, when he died, Armand, you know, that in memoriam, I mean, he was on screen for maybe 3 seconds.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised they put him on there. This guy was a big-time director, too. Anthony Quinn won his Academy Award for this.
Mm.
He was his brother, I think. He won two. He won for Lust for Life and this one, Best Supporting. Okay. Good movie. I think Jean Peters was in it too, wasn't she? Howard Hughes' wife.
Oh,
Jean Peters.
I haven't seen Viva Zapata for a while. I need to rewatch
that. It's pretty good. Yeah,
it's a good one. All right, 1925, Great Gatsby, published by Scribner's. And
I never did get it on this book.
Scribner's, boy, they put out some good stuff during that time.
I'd rather read Ben-Hur.
And
I just never thought this movie, this book or movie was very good. I thought the movie with
Redford?
That one wasn't bad.
DiCaprio.
God, that was horrible.
No, that was a cram box.
Jesus.
It was meant for a teenage audience.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
It was meant for a teenage
audience. All right.
Yeah, everyone has to read it in high school, so why not capitalize on that audience? They did, and they did it well, and it made money. And, you know, it had Tobey Maguire and Leonardo in it, and it had a few good scenes.
All right, great.
1970, Paul McCartney, he announces, fellas, George, John, Ringo.
Oh, Yoko.
It's been great. But I'm out of here. He leaves the Beatles for personal and professional reasons.
Yeah, what was that all about? Wasn't it Yoko? Didn't she interfere with all this? Didn't she throw a monkey wrench?
Apple was a quagmire at that point. It really was. They were burnt out. From 1963 on, they had been working nearly every day. Very few vacations.
Take a vacation. You don't have to
But what they needed to do was shut it down for a year or two and regroup.
Okay.
Can you imagine what the 70s would have been a lot different?
I tell you what, their solo albums were pretty damn good, if you ask me.
Hell yeah.
I like George's. I like his.
George's first
solo. I think
they did
better
record.
On their own.
Paul's first solo. Yeah, the solo.
I don't think we missed anything.
Well, that's the thing. You know, for diehard Beatles fan, you go, okay, what would it have been like, you know, if they had stayed together through the 70s?
I don't contemplate.
What would it have been like?
I don't know.
Well, you don't know, but you wouldn't. I tell you what, you wouldn't have gotten. A lot of Lennon's stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
McCartney's, Harrison's, I think we missed out on mine.
I think we got more than we would have had if they're.
Would we have gotten My Sweet Lord? Would they have ever put that on a Beatles album?
Like When We Were Fab. I think I'd rather have that one.
No, that didn't come until the 80s.
Yeah, okay, well,
but,
sorry.
Yeah. All right. Let's see who died. Well, I told you, Emiliano Zapata passed away.
Yeah, well.
1919.
Not of natural causes.
1962, Michael Curtiz.
Yeah, I mean, before we get to him, because I want to take a lot of time with him.
Yeah,
I got a couple of lesser
deaths.
Yes, Nino Rota. Well,
why do I know that name?
God, he did all that music for The Godfather.
Oh,
won the Academy Award for Godfather 2, and he did a lot of Fellini movies. All this, you know, all this Italian realism, neorealists. Nino Rota. You'd recognize a lot of his music. He died in 1979.
Great name.
Yeah, great composer. I think that's the only one I got besides the big one here. Yep, all my other ones are births, so I guess we... Oh, no, Linda Darnell, 1965.
Passes away.
Yeah, burned up in a fire.
Yeah.
She was young, too. Now, she was good in Blood and Sand, Mark of Zorro. She was a 20th Century Fox beauty.
Yeah.
Did her best work with Tyrone Power. Yep. And they don't know if she's at the window, and they're saying it's like a second story, and the place is aflame. Like, hey, jump. She didn't jump. I guess she was afraid. I don't know. Yeah, she tried to get out by the door or whatever.
Oh, no,
she didn't make it.
You open the door.
90% of her body was burnt. She survived, fortunately, not for long.
I'd rather not survive.
Yeah. So they took her to the hospital, and she expired. Tough way to go there.
Oh, that's brutal.
But a good actress. I like Linda Darnell.
All right.
Beautiful, beautiful woman.
Yeah. Michael Curtiz.
Yeah, now that's one of my probably my favorite director. 62.
Now,
he's directed my favorite films, some of them.
Famous for Casablanca.
Well, that's
obviously
what he won the Academy Award for. But he was an action director. He directed Errol Flynn, I think, in 12 movies. Captain Blood, great one. Seahawk. No, yeah, Seahawk was a great one. And he and William Keighley directed my favorite movie, Adventures of Robin Hood, 1938. Keighley was initially assigned to it. Warner didn't think he was getting as much out of Flynn as he should have, and he brought in Michael Curtiz, who Flynn really despised. The reason is a lot of it had to do with Curtiz married, I think it was the other way around. I think Flynn married Lily DeMita, and then Curtiz married Lily DeMita, Flynn's ex-wife, or the other way around.
Let me give you some of these films.
She was quite a firebrand.
So obviously Captain Blood.
Captain Blood, sure.
Okay, Casablanca, that's the big one. I mean... In terms of box office, though, this guy really did some stuff.
Hey, Angels with Dirty Faces,
Angels
my favorite gangster movie.
Angels with Dirty
movie.
Faces.
Yeah, great movie.
King Creole with Elvis.
Yeah.
That had box office.
Yep.
Dodge City. Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Right.
Same year as Casablanca.
Yeah, apparently when Cagney did that scene where he breaks down crying for his dad, that Michael Curtiz broke down too. Couldn't even say cut. He was so choked up. It's a pretty good scene.
I mean, and there's another one I wanted to mention. A couple more. White Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. Yeah. I didn't know.
But how about some of these wartime
Comancheros?
Films.
That was his last one.
Comancheros,
that was
1961.
Last one,
John Wayne.
Yep. Stuart Whitman. Monsieur Regret.
Yep. The Sea Wolf, 1941.
Yeah, good movie. Good movie.
Good Western.
Edward G. Robinson.
Santa Fe Trail.
Errol Flynn was, and Ronald Reagan was Custer.
They got him to do
Errol Flynn was Jeb Stuart.
They got him to do one of those big sort of epic Panavision, The Egyptian. Have you ever seen that? 1954. It's a CinemaScope film.
Yeah, right.
Where I think the more than story, it's about let's show something in CinemaScope.
Yeah.
They
had to do it in CinemaScope because they had so many problems with it. They could only show crowds. That's why they had a lot of problems with the process. So they're always doing biblical epics.
Now, here's an early Curtiz film. Mystery of the Wax Museum, 1933.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That might have even been in color. I think that was in color.
The poster's in color.
Yeah.
Passage to Marseille.
Oh, I like that movie.
1944.
That's, I think, one of the few movies that has a flashback within a flashback within a flashback.
Oh, my.
Yeah, of all things. Yeah, got a little confusing there. A
couple others I wanted to ask you about. He did Kid Galahad.
Yeah, Kid Galahad with the original one with Bogart was in it. Not the one with Elvis Presley.
Edward G. Robinson, Betty Davis, Humphrey Bogart.
Humphrey Bogart was in it, yeah.
Flamingo Road, and I want to ask you about this one. The Unsuspected.
Oh, I think that's with Claude Rains. Yeah. I think that's with Claude Rains. And who was the woman in that?
Joan Caulfield.
Joan Caulfield. Yeah. That was Claude Rains did a good job. I mean, they got along real well. Claude Rains scores King John in Adventures of Robin Hood.
Well, there's a couple I need to go back and see. Dive Bomber, 1941.
Yeah, Daryl Flynn and Ralph Bellamy and Fred McMurray.
Jim Thorpe, All-American.
Burt Lancaster.
And this film I've never seen, but this is the follow-up to Casablanca. Good trivia question. The follow-up to Casablanca, next film he directs.
Oh, okay.
Mission to Moscow.
Yeah, right.
Which is supposed to be
writer of that is one of the Hollywood Ten, I believe, and that was based on that guy. What's his name? Davis's book.
Yeah, it's Joseph E. Davies.
Yeah, he's a commie.
Played by Walter Houston.
Yeah.
American ambassador to
the
Soviet Union.
Talk about your useful idiots. Yeah, they had this guy. They used to take him out and show him where these people are all living and how comfortable they were and show him the beef stew they're having and everything. Of course, when he left, they took all the blankets and all the food away. Yeah, that guy was an idiot.
Now, check this out. This film is made, because I don't know that this film even really has a plot.
Yeah, it was just to show how much the
it
the,
is
how great an ally we had in the Russians.
Now,
I'm surprised Curtis didn't get nailed for that.
Well, here's why he didn't get nailed. You ready? It's going to set you off. So I hope the stock market goes up. Made at the behest of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah, that's surprising.
The film served to familiarize the American public with the Soviet Union, who were key allies at the time.
They were good friends of ours. Uncle Joe. Oh, God. Anyway, a couple of things about Iron Mike, because the guy's a really hard worker. Get there at 5, wouldn't leave till 9 o'clock, and expect his actors to pretty much do that. And a lot of times, you know, he pissed Errol Flynn off, you know, because he'd say, hey, listen, by the way, take the buttons off the foils, will you? I don't like that. I can see that. So Errol didn't like that.
I tell you what, you just make one like Casablanca, you really don't have to do anything else.
Yeah, but he was, like I said, his action pictures are even better.
And
but he did everything. He was a studio director. That's when he did everything.
Assembly line?
Movies.
Would you say assembly line?
Yeah, but he was great at it.
He was?
Yeah, that of course takes talent. Now, David
Is
Niven,
he in John Ford's category?
I like him better than John Ford.
You like him better? Okay.
Yeah, but because John Ford couldn't do all these.
Does he get the attention he deserves?
No, Ford won 4 Academy Awards. So.
All right.
Nobody's ever heard of this guy. But, you know, David Niven's autobiography, which I suggest people read, called Bring on the Empty Horses.
Bring on the Empty
Horses. Yeah, that's from, I think, Charge of the Light Brigade, where he's directing, you know, and it means riderless horses, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, he's Hungarian, and it's like somebody once said, he speaks 5 languages, all of them badly. Yeah, this guy never did bother to learn English, you know. So I got a couple other ones. He's got some. I think I wrote one down. Oh, always a bridesmaid, never a mother. I don't know where you got that one, but that's Michael Curtis.
These are Yogi-like.
Yeah, the only thing you regret are the things you don't do. That's pretty good.
That's true.
One. Oh, yeah, and the next time I want an idiot to do this, I'll do it myself.
That could also be true.
Yeah, when he sent some extra to do something. Yeah, some production design assistant to do something. That's a good one. This guy supposedly, kind of like Einstein, lacked a little concentration. And when he had this brilliant idea and decided to get out of the car, and he was driving to write it down, that wasn't a good idea.
No, that tends to not end well.
Yeah, Iron Mike, they called him, though. And that's discovered, apparently, I didn't know this, Doris Day.
Wow. That's a big
who's
discovery. Who's
still around, yeah. Found her singing somewhere and thought she'd be. His mother, I mean, his father, his brothers, and his brother and his sisters all died at Auschwitz.
Oh, my.
He was very grateful to Jack Warner, though, because I think Jack Warner got his mother out of there before they got her, too.
How'd they get him out?
He's a Hungarian Jew, I think.
But how the hell do you. Okay, wait a second.
I don't know. Jack Warner pulls.
How does a studio executive.
Goes to Franklin Roosevelt or somebody at the State Department.
Oh, so you
says,
can pull
hey,
people out of Auschwitz.
Sure. No, I don't know. Before they went there. I think before she got, before they deported her there.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they got her out of there. No, once you're in, you're in. Although,
I was gonna say.
Work will make you free. But, anyway, he. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah. Franklin Roosevelt, of course, didn't give a rat's ass about the Jews. Read up on that. You know, we barely got the physicists out of there.
Barely.
Had to beg him to get them out.
Barely. All right.
But anyway, Michael Curtis, great, great director. Now, any movie by him is pretty damn good, usually.
Died on this date in 1962.
Well, he did Mildred Pierce, too.
Mildred Pierce, yeah.
Although he didn't want to direct the has-been shoulder pads.
I'm telling you, from like 38 to 45,
he had a string of winners.
He got on a roll that is pretty hard to beat. I mean, he got on a roll.
Put that up against Hawks or Ford or any of those guys.
1969, Harley Earl, a great American designer at General Motors. The look of the cars of the 1950s, especially out of GM, largely the responsibility of that man and the design team that he brought in. Harley Earl. Never heard of him?
No.
Huge.
Okay.
Huge name in automotive.
Harley Davidson?
No.
Okay.
No.
Nothing to do with it.
No.
Okay. Then I don't know him.
Harley, again, you would be fascinated because he's up there with Raymond Loewy and other great, you know, sort of design. Responsible for the way the world looks in terms of.
Well, he's a cipher to me.
No, he was. Right. You should read about this guy. Fascinating. Planned obsolescence.
That was a good idea.
He brought a lot to the table. And when we think of the 1950s and that look of automotive, you're thinking of Harley Earl.
Okay.
And
say so.
In 1992, way before his time, this gentleman passed away.
I'm trying to just do whatever I can for people. Like the World Hunger.
You gotta love this guy.
It's pretty funny.
Isn't that great? You guys hear the song? Nice song, isn't it? Beautiful.
I think this is the
bit
that rocketed him to start.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those little kids starving and very depressed. And I watch these things on TV, and I see those commercials, and I look at it, and I go, God, how cruel, you know? To see a little kid out there, and I go, fuck, you know, I know the film crew could give this kid a sandwich.
I thought we were going to cut down on profanity on this show.
It's Sam, it's not us.
Oh, okay.
You know the kid's not out there, filming a letter from home with a Betamax, huh? There's a director 5 feet away going, don't feed him yet! Get that sandwich out of here! It doesn't work unless he looks hungry! But I'm not trying to make fun of world hunger. Matter of fact, I think I have the answer because I spend a lot of time working
And this
out.
Is true. And, to this day, this answer
is true.
Here.
Stop sending them food. Don't send these people another bite, folks. You want to send them something? You want to help? Send them U-Hauls. Send them U-Hauls, some luggage. Send them a guy out there that goes, hey, you know, we've been driving out here every day with your food for like the last, 30, 40 years. And we were driving out here a day across the desert, and it occurred to us there wouldn't be world hunger if you people would live where the food is! You live in a desert! Understand that? You live in a fucking desert! Nothing grows out here! Nothing's gonna grow out here! You see this?
Huh?
This is sand! Yeah! It's sand. You know it's going to be 100 years from now, huh? It's going to be sand! Get your kids, get your shit, we'll make
one. All right, collect yourself, will you?
That bit is...
All right. Well, first of all, Sam was wrong about that.
It's over 30 years.
The Sahara is greening. We all know that, thanks to carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
It is over...
Plant food. Yeah, I like Sam. I like Sam. What killed him? Drugs?
Yeah,
of course.
Hard.
I forgot.
But the ability to go from mild-mannered.
Yeah, well, that's part of his shtick. And
that
voice
was wonderful. Just into screaming and just worked up in a lather.
Yeah, and
oh,
little beret and all this other.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. His his scene with Rodney Dangerfield died in 1992, man. Oh,
jeez, 25 years.
His scene with Rodney Dangerfield when he asked for the explanation of the Korean conflict. In Back to School.
I don't remember that.
You don't know this?
I'm sure I heard
it. Do I need to cue this up?
No, it didn't strike me. I'll look it up on YouTube.
Please do.
All right.
Please do. Sam, God. And
that's
you know,
part
here,
of that movie is where he told off that economics teacher.
Oh, he did.
That was great. That's a scene I would have written.
What
are you talking about?
Where are you building this? Fantasyland?
Yeah. You got a greased mob or whatever. Yeah, that's,
and the,
yeah
and
that,
the,
that they're getting – that's a perfect
– Those guys who pour concrete.
Yeah, they're between the real world and the academic world. That tells you all you need to know. Now, it's supposed to be funny, but it was absolutely correct.
Well,
it's beautifully.
That's why it was funny to a whole bunch of people.
Because
one part of the audience is laughing because it's true. The other part of the audience is just laughing at Rodney.
I guess, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
That'll do it for today, April 10th. Rest in peace, Sam Kinison. You know,
Tambora, big one.
Oh, that's the one for you?
That's the one that did it.
And remember, you've probably never seen Big Ben. That's what I leave you with today. For Armand Kachigian, producers Andrew Allen and Brian Kroc, I'm Tony Hubert. Don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet. You can subscribe, and when you do, please leave us a 5-star review and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. All right, when April 11th rolls around, we'll be back to tell you about it here on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.